This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on India's efforts towards energy efficiency. The participants are Ashok Kumar, Deputy Director General, Bureau of Energy Efficiency, and Dwish Mishra, Journalist.
The warm summers of our country put immense pressure on our energy grid, with record high power demands and ever increasing reliance on imported coal. This is not a new phenomenon for the subcontinent. But the many more air conditioners, refrigerators, and comfort-seeking masses are increasing the relevance of complementary efforts being made towards improving energy efficiency. Today's discussion will shed light on the work being done by the Bureau of Energy Efficiency, BEE, and steps that state governments can take to achieve these goals. Sir, I'd like to start this conversation with a question on the energy efficiency efforts taken by the Bureau of Energy Efficiency. So, India has been pushing for more energy conservation efforts through BEE. What are the key initiatives you'd like to highlight?
First of all, thank you, All India Radio, for the opportunity. We appreciate that All India Radio has huge listenership and the conversation will have a huge impact, particularly on energy efficiency. So as per your question, the Government of India under the Ministry of Power, the Bureau of Energy Efficiency, implements several energy efficiency programs in the areas of appliances, building, transport, and industry. So one of the flagship programs that it touches every household is the Star Rating Program, which we call Standard and Labeling Program, where we have currently around 36-37 appliances under this scheme, where you would see that there is a star label put on the appliances to improve the efficiency. The another area is in the buildings sector. We have a buildings program where Bureau of Energy Efficiency has brought out the energy conservation building codes. And since 2023, the building codes have also integrated sustainability feature. Now those building codes are called energy conservation and sustainability building codes. Then we have a big program called PAT scheme, where industries are subjected to mandatory efficiency improvement programs. And currently, there are over 1,300 industrial units under this scheme to improve efficiency. We are also working in the transport sector, where fuel efficiency norms are being specified for the passenger car categories, heavy-duty vehicles, and also Bureau is helping in the transition to electrification of the transport. So in nutshell, Bureau is taking a lot of energy efficiency activities of various aspects, including, as I said in the beginning, appliances, buildings, transport, and industry.
So do you expect power demand to continue rising at this robust pace? Which key sectors are driving this?
Yes, we expect that the demand for power will continue to rise as India is, we are still developing and progressing country. And as the economy grows and the aspirations and affordability of the population of the country also rises, so with that, the level of consumption and usage of appliances increases. So definitely there would be increase in the demand. However, we also expect that the rate of increase of demand would be tempered with the help of efficiency improvement. So we would be moving to a situation where we would be using the incremental rise in the power demand at a very efficient way, so that overall, as you know, we are committed to have our growth with the very less of emission or the energy intensity. So certainly to a large, at least to some medium term, we are looking at, country would certainly be looking at a scenario where we would have a substantial rise in the demand for the power. Also, in addition to that, the economy is getting more and more electrified. So the power as such need for electricity would be further increased.
Taking this forward, sir, how much impact do domestic appliances have in India's power demand?
We are, you know, looking at in the tune of around 15 to say 12, 13, 14, 15% of electricity consumption in the appliances.
And sir, what role does air conditioning play in the rising demand for power?
Yeah, air conditioning is one of the most energy guzzling appliances among the appliances that we have in the kitty of all these big appliances that Standard Labeling Program covers. So the interesting point regarding the air conditioner is that with the level of temperature rise and also with the improvement in the economic, you can say, affordability, the use of air conditioners is rising exponentially, and the estimates are huge that our cooling or the air conditioning load would be substantial. And some kind of in the timelines of 2030, some estimate that the total power requirement for air conditioning in the state like Delhi would be current total consumption of the electricity. So it would be substantial, and on the overall country scale, it would be huge. So that is how it is estimated, you know, the cooling demand would be very, very high in the times to come.
So do shops like free electricity harm the energy conservation efforts in any way?
A free electricity, we look at, certainly the cost is very important to conserve, but it is for us, we only look at the operating part of the exercise, not on the policy part. So we would see that whatever the appliances or the equipment that we put under the program, that are performing at its efficiency level, we regulate, we check. That's how we hold it, but not beyond that.
So do you think there's a need to make buildings that are more energy conservation friendly? And you've mentioned how there's an energy conservation and sustainability building code as well. So do you think there's a need to implement it better?
Yes, certainly, as the amendment in the 2023 has brought the sustainability features and other energy efficiency codes to recognize that we can have much more efficient buildings in the times to come. And many of the features that are envisaged, we have concepts called net zero building, near zero buildings, and some buildings are even envisaged as a producer, the what they call a prosumer, in a sense that some buildings which will not only consume but also produce energy, produce power. So there is certainly a lot of opportunity for making buildings more efficient than the current level of efficiency by adopting various efficient appliances, equipments that are integrated as part of building, as well as also adding certain energy producing features like solar photovoltaic or some possibility of even the smaller stand-alone, some kind of electricity generation from the wind or from the geothermal and so on. So certainly a lot of opportunity in the building sector. And building also is an area where, you know, if you have a huge consumption, you know, after the industry in India, the building sector is the most energy-consuming sector. So energy efficiency opportunities in this area is substantial.
So do you think the state governments need to take more actions? Because a lot of the enforcement for energy conservation and sustainability building codes is in the hands of the states. So how do you assess their performance here?
Yes, certainly states, you know, eventually action happens in the state. You know, central level, for instance, agency like Bureau of Energy Efficiency at the central level, we create or we devise, we formulate regulations, policies, and ultimately it gets implemented in the industries which are part of the state. So certainly state has a huge role to play, and many states are very progressively performing on that direction as well. And in that direction, Bureau also helps the state governments through the state designated agencies. Currently, there are committees constituted under the either the chairship of the chief secretary or additional chief secretary to kind of coordinate the activities which involve, you know, energy efficiency, energy transition, and other interventions that would eventually lead us to the reducing our emissions or addressing the climate change. So states have a very critical roles to play, and this is very well recognized, and states have also had their own state action plans. If you see climate action plans, where many of the energy efficiency and conservation measures are part of the action plan.
Energy conservation buildings, this for commercial, for residential buildings, do we need to plan them better?
Earlier there was ECBC was only for the commercial. Now with the passing of the amendment, we have brought both the category of buildings under the law. So the codes that would be devised would be applicable both for residential and commercial buildings. And in that direction, you know, there are Bureau in itself has created tools to help the residential, say, or the residential buyers or the owners to assess their energy consumption, energy performance. There are tools, and the code itself would have, as I was telling, that would have a broader features of capturing not only energy-related aspects, but also sustainability-related aspects such as water, rain harvesting, the waste management. All these features would be part of the code that would require, that would be mandatorily implemented once the state adopts the codes.
Sir, can you help our listeners understand what benefit will they get if they opt for a more energy-conservative building? What, whether there's a financial incentive, whether they'll save money on their power bills, or whether they just feel better because they are helping the cause?
Yes, certainly. The point of making energy efficient building is that there would be some financial benefit out of the building, in a sense that your the broader analysis tells that the energy efficient building, you know, we have a perception that energy efficiency buildings would be very costly to build, and then, you know, even if you are getting the dividend, it would be long drawn and so on. So, but the analysis is telling that the incremental cost of a non-efficient and efficient building, at least the new buildings, there is a very limited, very small difference. Even experts tell that it would be even less than 10%. So, that 10% is the first upfront cost. Then later on, if you have integrated the appliances which are efficient, for instance, you have very efficient air conditioner already integrated, you save substantial amount in the air conditioning bills and other lighting fixtures, and the way you put the water flow, the way you have designed the direction of the windows so that, you know, the ingress or the radiation doesn't enter into the buildings, which eventually saves, again, cooling effort. So all that in a longer life cycle cost, you are going to save much more than, you know, what you have invested. So the efficiency activities, whether it is in the building or in the appliances or any intervention, is a business case in itself. Many of the energy efficiency interventions have a very, very short, you can say, payback period. You know, we consider that the maximum to, say, 2 to 3 years. So beyond that, you would be getting a benefit after, you know, whatever you have given the upfront cost. For instance, you know, if you are buying a ceiling fan, the normal ceiling fan consumes around 80 watts. And currently, best available ceiling fans are consuming 25 watts, 30 watts, something of that range. So the replacement itself has, you can say, saving of 50 watts. And the fans are used in most of the places in India, more or less, you know, 8 to 10 to, and in some places, you know, it goes on and on. And you can imagine the saving from, you know, such a 50 watts going over 12 to 20 hours or 18 hours every day, 365, maybe around 8 months. So it would be huge, huge savings. So energy efficiency activities, you know, of course, there would be some challenges. Of course, you know, there may be appliances which would appear that upfront cost is substantial. However, if that can be kind of overcome, it is certainly going to benefit the consumer.
Sir, I know this is very rudimentary, but can you help our listeners understand, does a more energy conservative building have just bigger windows, or is there some more science, is there some easier way of making people understand that, okay, at least you do this when you are making a new house or when you are going for a new commercial establishment?
Right.
Is there a common minimum that can help people understand?
The Bureau has developed a tool we have at the website called Eco-Niwas Samhita's tool, which, you know, the normal, like, just like our calculator or something, we're very easy to use, giving the option that, you know, what size of window you want, what size of room you want, and what type of orientation, you know, south facing, north facing, all that. You can say, in a sense, you know, for instance, our traditional wisdom that the country has, for instance, look at the older buildings in Delhi, you know, the very thick walls, and you have some kind of courtyard, things of helping in the and you can say natural circulation of air and smaller windows, windows with window shades properly designed as per the movement of the sun and so on. So certainly there is no one methodology for telling that bigger window or smaller window. It will depend on where the house is being built. If it is being built in a colder region, you know, you would be looking at windows on the south side so that the maximum sun can, so similarly in the hotter regions, you would put the other way around so that you avoid maximum radiation of the sun getting inside of the rooms. And there are certain other interventions, you know, putting louvers, putting shades outside of the window, outside of the doors and so on. So there are several, you know, you can say interventions which certainly will integrate it all together with its design, with its active parts being efficient, passive parts being very properly designed. Then, you know, you certainly be in a position to build a house that will be very, very light on the energy as well as the resources.
So now let's talk about what is inside the house or what is inside the office. How do you assess the star ratings program, which has, I think, run quite successfully for a while? Would you like to tell us about its performance? And for our listeners who might not know about it at all, what is it all about?
Yeah, this is about, you know, to making the consumer an easy, very simplified assessment of the efficiency of the appliances, looking at the star of the appliances, which is put on the appliances. You know, the more the star, more the efficiency. It helps the consumers to make an informed choice that, you know, if you pay a little more for efficient ones, in the long run, you would be saving on the operating part of it. So that is basically it. And currently, around 37 appliances, I think around 16, I'm not remembering the exact number, but 16, 17 appliances are in the mandatory regime, what we call, where these appliances cannot be sold in the market without the label, such as air conditioner, refrigerator, tube lights, LED bulbs, ceiling fan. These cannot be sold in the market without putting this label so that consumers have a choice to decide on the purchase. Then there are, I think, some odd 20 odd appliances like washing machine and others. I think if I remember correctly, you know, the computer office equipments and so on, they are currently in the voluntary phase where, you know, they have the choice whether to put or not. But the process is, as the market matures, these voluntary appliances are put under the mandatory, and then they will also be made to put compulsorily the labels so that consumers would have the information to make their choices. So this program has been very successful. We also run radio program called Bachat Ki Sitare, where, you know, we also inform of the programs in related to energy efficiency. So this is the flagship program, I think, and it has been going on since 2006-07.
So the program has been going on for a while, and it's also progressively getting more and more strict. So do you feel there is a stage where we've reached that the technology has started to plateau and you can only get so much efficiency from an appliance? Because what we're starting to realize is that if you look at the budget category, it's very difficult to find an appliance which is 5-star rated and falling within the affordable category.
Partially yes, in a sense, or partially no, because what happens is as you improve the efficiency, you know, there are innovations. For instance, imagine, say, 10 years back or maybe 25 years back, you know, our air conditioners were more or less were the fixed speed air conditioners. Now, you know, the technology has shifted to inverter technology. So the majority of the AC currently sold are of inverter type. So when you push the technology, or you can say industry, to the higher efficiency level, then there would be a situation where you leapfrog or you graduate to another set of technologies. You know, you innovate something and you come out with a new category of appliances. For instance, we graduated from incandescent bulbs to CFLs and CFLs to LEDs. So the efficiency, of course, you know, for a certain category of appliances, that certain technology might limit to the technical minimum of that particular technology. But then innovations, you know, new technologies emerge and they, you know, disrupt the market and they take over with their credentials. So there could be some appliances which might kind of reach a stage where, you know, its further efficiency improvement might be very limited. However, that also kind of pushes, or that also helps in finding newer products, new technologies in the same area with or rather, you know, even at the same cost or maybe even lesser costs.
But is this approach of reducing your one star from an appliance every 2 years at a certain efficiency level, is this trend expected to continue even in sectors or even in appliances where you feel that it cannot get any better, there's a technical minimum which has been achieved?
Yeah, that we would kind of take case-to-case basis. But broader, our approach is that every 2 years we upgrade the level. So if at all anything happens or anything of that sort that you reach to a, you know, complete, you have exhausted all the possibility of efficiency improvement and there is no competitor technology is not coming. So then I think at that point in time, the government would take a decision. But as on, you can say, currently we do not see any sort of situation where, you know, it completely gets stuck.
Understood. So how do we convince more people to adopt energy efficiency measures?
Yeah, convincing is, see, one is the, you know, institutions like All India Radio and other. The point, you know, what we have seen is that consumer needs the information. They are wise enough to decide. The lack of information is the most, you can say, the biggest constraint. So if the consumer is given the fair level of education, information, and communication in these areas, kind of explaining the finer or maybe the broader details of the benefits and, you can say, further co-benefits and so on, that the consumer is going to decide. We have done, I mean, I'll just share one such experience at the BE level. We have done a market survey where, you know, we saw that if the information is available, that information around 90% that gets translated into decision. So only thing is the information's availability and the information at the right place. Bureau has already, you know, we are training the retailers to make them sensitive, make them aware of the benefits of the appliances, that those appliances which are put under the program, so that, you know, right kind of messaging is given to the consumer. So the best way is to inform them, and then if they have the information out, they would certainly decide on the wiser side than, you know, the other way around.
What steps can corporates take to reduce the energy intensity of their emissions and to complement the conservation efforts being taken?
Yeah, corporates have, you know, huge role to play in this reduction in emission intensity of the economy because they have substantial levels of energy consumption. So that gives them a large opportunity. So as I was mentioning, you know, there's a program called PAT, which is focusing on the energy intensive industries. So these industries have, you know, whether they are producing steel or cement or fertilizer, for any items they are manufacturing, producing, processing, they have a lot of opportunity and they have, you know, kind of interventions in the form of energy improvement in efficiency itself so that, you know, the per unit energy consumption or the production reduces. And also to upgrade the technology so that the level of, you know, you leapfrog to a certain another process itself. That not only improves the efficiency, but also in many times, you know, it improves the whole resource consumption as well. And so corporates have a lot of opportunity, and many corporates, as you might also know, that they have their own emission intense reduction targets, even the net zero commitments they have declared. As a country, we are going to net zero by 2070, but many corporates have pledged before those timelines that they would reduce their emission or kind of resort to several activities which results in making them net zero in terms of emission. So corporates are taking several measures. They would be looking into technological interventions, you can say greening of the power that they consume and many of the processes. They are retuning, you know, substituting, and recycling, repurposing, and so on and so forth to make our, contributing to the larger cause of India's commitment and to address the global challenge of climate change through the interventions of energy efficiency and conservation. And just to give a sense of contribution from the industry in the tax scheme, currently 1,300 industries which are participating under this scheme has, contributed emission reduction or avoided emission of about more than 100 million tons. And that is huge, substantial, given that countries like, Southeast Asian countries like Malaysia, Thailand, their total emission is around 250, 260, or maybe 280 million tons of CO2, carbon dioxide. So huge dividend, huge effort that the industry is putting, and overall the efficiency improvement activities that are being taken across the economy in the form of appliances, this more than 300 million tons. You can say 300 million tons mean, again, little more than the country's total emission of countries like Thailand, Malaysia, and so. So huge benefit from energy efficiency and conservation in the area of climate change or in the area of emission reduction. So energy efficiency is one of the key levers for the energy transition or climate change. And most studies will tell you that the energy efficiency's contribution would be around 40% to 50% of the total, interventions or the contribution that will come from energy efficiency. So it's a very, very important lever for the country, for the globe. It is across the board, it's not just a country like India, but across the board, the contribution from energy efficiency is considered around 40 to 50, if not more. So that is the potential and promise of the energy efficiency.
To sum up today's discussion with Dr. Kumar, the key takeaways are that energy efficiency efforts by the government, industry, and common people will continue to remain relevant. What will also continue is the emphasis on ensuring that the people get to know the energy efficiency ratings of appliances before they buy them. Besides this, industries will be encouraged to adopt cleaner energy practices to reduce the dependence on imports and also to ensure that we have a cleaner livable situations around us. Thank you so much for those wonderful insights, Dr. Ashok Kumar.
Thank you for having me and hope our message, our conservation will reach to many audiences. Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's efforts towards energy efficiency. The participants were Ashok Kumar, Deputy Director General, Bureau of Energy Efficiency, and Krish Mishra, Journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.